What's going on, everybody? It is Tuesday evening, and you are tuned into the Stoned on Sports podcast. My name is Matt, this handsome devil with me there. That's Kyle, and we hope you are having an amazing day. We have a fantasy baseball smorgasbord on tap for you today. We've got some news and notes to go over. There's been a lot going on here recently. We've got some players who are off to a hot start that we're going to discuss. Obviously, the season is in motion. That means dudes are getting hurt. So we're going to cover some injury information and updates. And we're also going to talk about some waiver wire targets. So I think it's going to be a fun episode. Kyle, how the hell are you doing, buddy?
Doing freaking awesome. Tigers are 4-0, so it's awesome. It's good stuff.
Yes, they are.
I think they're in a rain. They're going to be in a rain delay in New York right now. But oh well. So news and notes, right?
Yeah.
Get her going.
Hold on.
What's up?
We got people in the chat. Dubo in the house. Yo, dudes, what's going on, brother? Appreciate you coming through, as always. Kyle, are you going to say hi?
What's up, Dubo? Appreciate the support, brother.
That's better. Now, put up the news and notes banner, and we'll get into that.
Let's do it.
First off, Mike Clevinger signed with the White Sox. 1 year, $3 million deal. Plus, he can earn another $3 million with incentives. He was with the White Sox last year, went 9-9 with a 3.71 ERA with 110 strikeouts and 40 walks across 131 and a third innings and 24 starts. Not somebody I'm running out to pick up, but it is, we'll call it a signing of note. That team is hot garbage, and whoever the starter is going to be hard-pressed to get some wins.
Yeah, when he's back, he might be a useful matchup, you know, streamer in the right matchups, especially against a weak American League Central.
For sure. Rangers Josh Young broke his wrist last night, got hit by a pitch. He had surgery today in Phoenix. According to Rangers manager Bruce Bochy, he should be back in about 6 weeks or so. Rangers top prospect Justin Foscue has been called up as a roster replacement. And he's somebody that can play all over the infield, first, second, and third.
Yep.
We had some quite the event last night. Ronel Blanco of the Astros threw a no-hitter, the first one of the season. It is the earliest in terms of actual date in MLB history. He signed out of Dominican Republic at age 22, which is just wild because it seems like everybody down there is signing at 16. Needed just 105 pitches, 2 walks, 7 Ks. Hell of a game for him. Good for him.
Yeah, earliest Hideo Nomo back in 2001, I think, was April 4th was the earliest no-hitter. So Brandon's in the house. What's up, man? He thinks this is the first time in forever that I keep checking to see what time the Tigers play. It's way early, but they are fun to watch so far. I agree for sure. I stayed, or not stayed up, but finished watching last night's game like from the eighth on, and it was awesome.
Yeah. You know, and I'll raise my hand. In our two-start pitcher video, I said to sit Sean Manaea. He pitched a hell of a game yesterday.
He did.
I'll eat crow. And quite frankly, if I was right about every prediction, none of you all would be seeing this video. I would be the quiet millionaire.
We got Supersonic in the chat as well. Thanks for joining, brother. Appreciate that.
Sup, loud boy.
Dubo, sup, LB. Oh, you're making power moves in the league. Hey, he's figuring out his roster. So, and yeah, Sway's in the channel as well. So, what else we got? Oh, Estrella Ruiz got sent down to AAA Vegas on Monday to make room for Tyler. I don't really get it, but he was playing okay. I mean, don't forget he had 67 steals last season, which is just ridiculous. The fantasy value is definitely taken a huge hit early.
Yeah, and there's some controversy around that. It on the surface, you'd think, okay, it's for service time manipulation, but apparently he was wearing the bracelet of, you know, some business entity that badmouthed the A's or whatever. I mean, the dude has been pretty damn good so far. A 429, 375, 857 triple slash, a double, a triple, a stolen base. And it's not very often, and you're only going to see it early in the season, or somebody with a limited sample size, their on-base percentage is lower than their batting average.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a rarity.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think it's right now, I guess you're in a holding pattern with them, but it really feels like it's hard to justify holding on to them, especially in shallow leagues.
Yeah, and I imagine he'll be down for a couple months too because of that service time. And then just a couple. Oh, you good?
Nope. I was taking the banner off because I thought we were done.
Oh, yeah. We got Justin Verlander threw three innings and 52 pitches in a simulated game yesterday. He's going to be heading out on a multi-game rehab assignment. So all you Justin Verlander managers out there, I'm sure you're excited to get him back. And Sonny Gray is looking to make his season debut April 9th. He's going to make one more start with AAA Memphis before joining the team at home in St. Louis for a series against the Phillies.
Heck yeah. All right. Some people got off to some hot starts early here in the first weekend, whatever you want to say. I know you got a pitcher from the Dodgers that you wanted to talk about.
Yep. And that pitcher is none other than Bobby Miller. He did absolutely fantastic. Six innings pitch, two hits, one walk. He struck out 11 of the 21 batters that he faced. He only had a 9.7% swinging strike rate, which is low. Major league average is around 11%, but a 22.6% called strike rate. He got four strikeouts each with his four-seamer and changeup with a nice 12-mile-an-hour delta there, which is absolutely insane. He only threw his slider to three batters, and he struck them all out. And something to keep in mind, he's only 25. This is only his 23rd career start, so he's a young guy. There's going to be some ups and downs, but he is somebody who, in my opinion, and quite frankly, the opinion of quite a few other folks, he's got the makings of a potential ace. And who better to learn from than Clayton Kershaw there?
Yeah, I mean, he and CBS standard scoring, he scored you 30 and a half points. You'll take that all day long. He was hitting triple digits all night long as well. Retired the first nine batters he faced. Six of them he struck out. So he had a promising season last year, a great spring. You know, I think we all expected him to take a step forward, but he kind of took a leap Friday night. I was not expecting that. All right. We got up. We talked about Jared Jones. Jeez. In January, when we were talking about prospects, really high on this guy, starting pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirate. He's their number three prospect. Went 5 2/3, three hits, two walks, 10 Ks, a batting average against of 1.43. He got the win. He got the quality start too. Got you 21 fantasy points in CBS standard scoring. Just amazing. Averaged 97.1 mile an hour with his fastball. He racked up a bunch of double digit whiffs on both his slider and four seamer, which that's really all he pretty much relied on. He threw both of those pitches 87% of the time the other night. 40 sliders thrown the other day with a 58.8% whiff rate. Looked really, really good. Last season in 10 starts at AA, he was a 2.23 ERA with a 1.08 whip. Really improved on, you know, his command and getting ahead of the count. And that he uses that. It's a wipeout pitch, that slider, to finish guys off. He struggled a bit last year in AAA, or he might have actually debuted last season. It would have been possible to come up last year. I don't know if he's going to throw enough strikes to remain like totally viable starting option, but given the upside, 10 strikeouts in 5 2/3 innings, he's somebody hot.
Hell yeah, he is. I mean, especially when you consider last year was his first time pitching above A ball. It was a damn good start. You love the 10 strikeouts, two walks you can deal with. He gave up a lot of hard contact, a 63.6% hard hit rate, a 97.5 mile an hour average exit velocity. They were squaring up on his ass. I think there's a little bit of luck there. He actually touched 100 in the first with his fastball, but he kind of lived that 95, 97. And you were talking too about the whiff rate, that slider, that's just insane. Anytime you're over 50%, I mean, that's just ridiculous.
It is.
All right. So this dude I've had on my team in years past, and he's been kind of shitty last year, but this year he's off to a hot start. Jake Cronenworth of the San Diego Padres. So far this year, he's got a triple slash, a 321, 355, 500, nine
here,
hits.
I got it for you.
Thanks.
No problem.
Nine hits, four runs, three doubles, a triple, seven RBIs. He's only struck out five times. He has yet to walk, but that's still good for a 131 OPS plus. And so far this year, he's pulling the ball at double his career average rate. He's at 50%, but he's making excellent hard contact. 60.9% hard hit rate, an 89.4 mile an hour average exit velocity, and a 20.8% barrel rate. And it's not just the hard contact he's making either. His whiff rate is just 12%. You want to keep in mind, though, he's chasing pitches outside the zone at a career high 32.7% rate. So you don't want to see that, but you also want to remember we're talking about just a handful of games. This is a very small sample size, but still it's promising to see these kind of results from a player who was kind of trash last year. He's hitting third in the lineup right now. It's tied with the Dodgers for most runs scored with 47. Granted, they've also played more games than other teams as well. So keep that in mind too.
I mean, this is the guy that made back-to-back all-star teams in 21 and 22. And yeah, last year he just drastic dip in production, still played 127 games. But that 689 OPS is just horrible. And I think his season did end. He broke his wrist, fractured his wrist. Can't remember, but somebody I got on one of my teams that I picked up last week to kind of churn over that utility spot. You know what I'm saying?
I sure do.
Okay. I'm going to butcher it. Shota Imanaga, starting pitcher with the Cubs, pitched against the Rockies. So not saying too much, but boy, did he look good. Pitched six innings, allowed just two hits, no walks with nine strikeouts, got the win, got the quality start, threw 65 of his 92 pitches for strikes, got you 30, another 30 and a half fantasy points in CBS standard scoring. He was actually working on a no-hitter in the sixth. Charlie Blackmon singled to center and ended that out. They're going to be really looking for this guy to – they're going to rely on him more heavily, Justin Steele being out, who we'll talk about shortly. We'll see how he fares against the Dodgers this weekend, though. Again, that was against the Rockies. But this guy might be an MLB rookie, but let's not forget he's 31. He pitched 8 years, 165 games, and over 1,000 innings in Japan. I think a lot of managers are probably hesitant to trust him, but that clout from Japan and that first start success, I think you still send him out for that matchup against the Dodgers.
You know, and I'm going to comment on Imanaga here, but that Dodgers lineup, it almost makes me wonder, which pitchers are you willing to run out there against them? Like Spencer Strider, you're not going to bench for anybody. Corbin Burns, sure. If they end up playing the Dodgers, sure. But as you get further and further down the list, I had that decision this week with Logan Webb. And it's like, all right, do I want to? He doesn't really strike out a whole lot of guys. I did because I'm a firm believer in start your studs, but I may come to regret it.
That's what I was going to say. Start your studs, go with it. Yeah, there's some matchups. I didn't start somebody that's going against the Braves some next week that or this week. I can't remember who it is, but it's tough. I get it. Imanaga,
he is the second pitcher in the modern era with 9+ strikeouts and no runs or walks allowed in their MLB debut, joining the Pirates' Nick Kingham in 2019. And for those of you who don't know, the modern era begins in 1901. He was getting people to chase, 96th percentile chase rate, 97th percentile strikeout rate. He also gave up some hard contact, though. He's a four-pitch pitcher. He really only used three. That splitter had an 80% whiff rate, his sweeper at 50%. And he loved to see it. You know, I talk about it all the time. He has a 9.5 to 10 mile an hour delta. Holy shit, that's nice. I think he's a legit starter. I don't necessarily know that he's going to be an ace or anything like that, but if I got him, I'm running his ass out there more often than not.
Heck yeah.
So we touched on this guy. God, that sounds creepy. We talked about this guy. Oh shit. Maybe a week ago, Jack Flaherty of the Detroit Tigers. He's their little reclamation project this year. And quite honestly, so far, so good. Six innings pitch, four hits, one earned, no walks, seven strikeouts. Did a great job of limiting hard contact and getting ground balls. He operated off essentially a three-pitch mix, slider, four-seamer, and knuckle curve, and he essentially ditched his sinker and changeup, less than 5% combined usage. His velo is up over last year, half a mile an hour on his fastball, over a mile an hour on his slider. And there was some nice swing and miss too. It wasn't all just called strikes. He had a 13.8% swinging strike rate and a 31.7% whiff rate. Walks have been an issue with him over the last several years, and he was only slightly below average even in his peak years. So this is an encouraging start. Anytime you can get him out there for, you know, five, six, seven innings and he doesn't walk anybody, you love it. This comes with a caveat, though. You want to keep in mind, this start was against arguably the worst team in the American League.
Yeah, agreed. It's just one game against the White Sox. He had a very good spring, though. I think that's enough to make him worth adding in all formats, hoping that he can recapture that. I won't, former ace is kind of too much, but just be a solid pitcher. His matchup this Friday is against the Athletics, so we might have to wait and see later this month. He's going to have predicted starts against the Rangers and the Rays. So let's see what he does against those teams before we go crazy with him. But I will say the slider was just stupid great, stupid precise, hovered at the bottom of the zone, earned a whopping 40% CSW rate. We have not talked about CSW, right? CSW, right, stands for called strikes plus whiffs. The formula is real simple. It's just called strikes plus whiffs divided by total pitches. So it's a little bit better than swinging strike, in my opinion. It takes into account the called strikes, swinging strikes, even, you know, the ones that are blocked, swinging pitch outs even, which you don't really see that too often, and foul tips into the glove, while excluding regular foul balls. So it's a little more predictive than that swinging strike, more descriptive than just whiff percentage, but he's just fantastic. Just, I'm very excited to see what he can do against some better quality lineups.
Sure. I mean, and even though he's going to be facing substantially better teams, it's nice to get in a couple starts earlier in the season, yeah, and build his confidence.
It is. Yep. I agree, man. Okay, headed down to Kansas City. Brady Singer with the Kansas City Royals. Was the 18th overall pick in the 2018 draft. Had a start this weekend against the Twins. Pretty dominant. Seven innings pitched, three hits, one walk. Struck out 10. Got the win. Got the quality start. These are points that you need in points leagues. He got 30 total fantasy points as well. Really just did it while exclusively throwing his sinker and slider. He only threw 14 fastballs and four, count them, four changeups. Pretty weird. Heard about him in spring this the last few months. He said he planned to utilize his four seamer more. We didn't really see that against the Twins. He's really predominantly been just a two-pitch pitcher in his career, that sinker and slider. Had a great outing. 64 of his 98 pitches for strikes, generated the 19 whiffs on 98 pitches, and a 33.3 strikeout-to-walk ratio. Pretty damn good. Now, does this tell us more about what the Twins lineup might look like, or something more about Singer actually, you know, moving forward, trying to get that next step? But double-digit strikeouts, you know, that's a good start. Can you trust him to be a more consistent arm? You know, that he's sticking with that sinker and that slider he's had his whole career. Can he get by on that?
You can, and a lot of it is going to come down to his command of the zone with the pitches, right? I mean, his slider was untouchable, 61.5% whiff
Yeah.
rate. He used it almost 55% of the time. I also like that even though he only used the four seamer about 14% of the time, his velo was up 1.5 miles on that pitch, or 1.5 miles per hour, which is just insane. Am I going to consider him a set it and forget it kind of guy? Absolutely not.
No.
But he's somebody who's better than being a matchup dependent play. I think I'm, like Imanaga, I'm going to have him out there more often than I'm not going to have him out there. But I also, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of, I don't have a lot of confidence in that offense. I think it's
Oh,
kind of top
sure.
heavy. There's some good pieces there. So, he might struggle to get some wins, but we know coming into the season that wins are very hard to predict, even in the best of circumstances. But if he can give you performances, not even to this degree, but something, if you can give me 6 innings, 7 strikeouts, walk a hitter or two, and keep the damn ball in the park, which you can do there at Kauffman.
Sure can.
He
Yep.
can be a successful pitcher.
And he's got, I mean, for this week, he's got a juicy matchup at home versus the White Sox. And the Tigers just whooped the shit out of the White Sox. So, well, I shouldn't say whooped. There's a couple close games, but
They were all
so
one
yeah, I
run games.
yeah, they were. That's right.
Dubo chiming in. Twins just strike out a lot. That's it. And I like that baseball has gotten away from the three true outcomes with, all the rule changes and everything. But, there's some days when a pitcher is just on and he has a perfect feel for his pitches. And quite frankly, it may not matter who the opposing team is. If you're able to place the ball with pinpoint command, shit. Good pitching beats good hitting.
Yep.
Okay, so we got one more dude we're going to talk about. Lourdes Gurriel of the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's your National League Player of the Week, which I certainly did not see coming. And we're not going to go real in depth on him. But this guy, he's got a triple slash, a 381, 435, 905, 8 hits, 3 home runs, 10 RBIs, 2 doubles, 6 runs, and a stolen base. And he is absolutely smoking the fucking ball. A 70.6% hard hit rate, 98.2 mile an hour average exit velocity, and a 23.5% barrel rate while batting third in one of the best offenses in baseball. Sign me up, brother. Sign me up. I'm not going to say I've got some FOMO on him and missing out on drafting him, but if he were to become available, I think I would listen.
Yeah, and to be fair, he's always been a streaky hitter in his career. Even last year, he started off hot in June and July. He was hitting under 200, and then he heated back up there in August and September. He's always done a great job of making good contact. He doesn't strike out very much. He's a career 19.6%, so pretty decent. Last year was 17.4%, so even better. But it was against the Rockies, and they have one of the worst starting rotations in baseball. So I think definitely helped him get off to a good start. I mean, he's never hit more than 24 homers in a season. He's still career 797 OPS. So you can't expect him to produce at that rate with an OPS of 1.340. That's not sustainable.
No.
So, but yeah, somebody. You could do it definitely, especially the utility spot all day long. We got in the chat. Pistol RX. Thanks, Matt and Kyle. Yeah, appreciate it, dude. Appreciate you getting into the comments on the videos too and interacting with us. We really appreciate it.
What's going on, Pistol?
He's got a question. Do you think I should drop Severino for Whitlock?
So in a vacuum, without knowing what the rest of your pitching staff looks like, that Boston rotation is on fire right now. I don't know what the hell they're doing or what's in the water there, but it this first turn through, they all look like aces. I've not really been a big Severino guy, even when, you know, pre-injury when he was with the Yankees. I think I would do it. I think there's a little bit better of a team context there. I think Boston is more likely to compete in the AL East than the Mets are in the NL East. And I think you're going to get a decent chance for wins, at least in this first start. He did a fantastic job of limiting the hard contact. I think I would endorse that move, Pistol.
Excellent. Great question, man. Okay, that's some of our few guys that are off to some hot starts so far through the first week. Now we got some injuries, which is going to happen constantly. If you look at my home team, it's like I'm definitely a hospital ward there. It's pretty bad.
Get them out of the way early.
That's true. It's better than, yeah, that than having them, you know, when you're trying to ramp up for the playoffs. But excuse me. Catcher Sean Murphy's on the injured list there with Atlanta. He was only able to have three bats so far. No hits, one strikeout. Got diagnosed with a grade one left oblique strain. That's really the best case scenario for him, avoiding, you know, more a grade one's the lower end. So any more severe of a strain or even a tear, he does not have. Average recovery time for hitters with a grade one is usually around a month, just under a month. The Braves have, you know, some pretty good quality depth there with a player like Travis d'Arnaud. And in terms of, you know, basically their overall offensive firepower, I don't think Murphy will be rushed back for that reason. And this is especially true because oblique injuries can still be tricky.
Yeah, absolutely. He is going to miss, you know, probably a month. According to MLB.com data, hitters typically take 27 days to return from a grade one oblique strain. But this is still the best case scenario diagnosis. Yeah, so I think they're happy.
Said the same thing a minute ago.
Well, I'm sorry.
Word for word.
Stop copying my notes then.
I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hit to their offense. Anytime you can get the production that he provides from the catcher position, you're going to be happy with it. d'Arnaud is a passable fill-in. He doesn't have the kind of power or run production ability that Sean Murphy has, but d'Arnaud has also shown in the past, especially with this team in that offense and for a shorter period of time, he's perfectly fine. Now, he's not going to catch every single game for the next month. He's still going to be splitting some time with whoever the hell that is. Quite frankly, it doesn't really matter. But yeah, it's a big loss for them, but the Braves will be fine.
Your guy up was pitching well against the Rangers before he got hurt this weekend.
Yes, he was. For the Cubbies, Justin Steele. He went down with a grade one left hamstring strain. He's going to be out for at least a month. He's not even going to begin throwing again until he's able to walk without a limp. The Cubs called up prospect Ben Brown to fill the roster spot, who has struggled with his control. That's going to be...
And he's just, from what I read from the managers, he's just going to be available out of the bullpen. So he's not starting.
No, he's just filling the roster spot.
It sounds like it'll be Smiley, but things change.
They do, and any of you Tigers fans out there, you remember Drew Smiley, the guy who just teased you with all that talent and ability, but he was somebody who could just never really put it together or stay healthy. For a comparison, I would say look to Sonny Gray. We talked about him earlier. He's supposed to be back on the 9th. He last pitched in the spring on March 4th. So that's, you know, 35 days ish. And I think that's a pretty apt comparison.
It is. And hamstrings, just like obliques, tricky too, very easy to re-injure. So just watch up on the notes. And, well, we'll keep you posted too on them because I like talking about some Justin Steele. Who we got in the comments? Blue Yay's in there. Hey, gents, hope you're all doing well. Same to you, man. Hope you had a great holiday weekend. If you celebrate,
appreciate what's going on, Blue? In.
Appreciate you jumping into the show. Next injury, man, not really a shocker, but just a devastating, just devastating for people like Dubo. Third baseman Royce Lewis with the Twins was having a great game. Couple at bats, two hits, one of which was a home run versus the Royals. Suffered a severe right quad strain, 10-day IL, expected to be out a month at least. This is the fifth time that he has been on the IL since being a number one draft pick in 2017. That's two seasons as a big leaguer, five times. That's two torn ACLs, an oblique, and a hamstring injury before. But when he's healthy, man, he has been exceptional. In 71 games, he's hit .313, 18 homers, and 58 ribbies. Sounds like Twins called up Austin Martin, one of their top prospects, going to provide some depth there. But the immediate plan is probably Willie Castro and probably Kyle Farmer to handle some third base duties. They're not fantasy relevant, so don't worry about them. But bummer for Twins fans.
Yeah, it is. And you know, you're right. You're talking about his fifth IL trip in just 71 games of his MLB career. He's got MVP level talent. I mean, it's so sad to see. He's going to rest for a month. They'll see where he's at then. But by everything I've read, it's a pretty severe quad strain. It's not something he just tweaked. You knew this when you drafted him.
Yep.
You know, you were drafting for the upside, and you know, here we are fucking 5 days in, and you're without your fifth round pick or whatever. I mean, he was a dark horse, like MVP candidate for a lot of people. He's got that much talent.
Just can't stay healthy.
No, he can't. So we got one more here that we're going to talk about. And this is for all you folks playing in those deep leagues or in NL only leagues, something like that. Tyler McGill of the New York Yankees. He has a right shoulder strain that is his throwing shoulder. He's going to be shut down for at least 5 days. The Mets recalled Reed Garrett from AAA Syracuse, and he's going to fill in. This is his fourth IL trip in the last three seasons. He missed more than 3 months with a shoulder strain back in 2022, but said that one was much worse. And yep, he hopes to be back, you know, when first eligible, or maybe just a couple days over the minimum IL stay.
Yeah. Yeah, he said just a little bit of soreness, typical soreness after throwing. Wasn't feeling any significant pain either, so that's a positive. You mentioned Reed Garrett getting called up as well. They'll probably throw a bullpen game or, you know, find a spot starter outside of the organization if they have to. Heck yeah. All right, so that's some of the injury players. Waiver targets. We are pitcher heavy today. We definitely are pitcher heavy. Abner Uribe with the Milwaukee Brewers, just rostered 57% on Yahoo. Two games pitched, two innings, 4.50 ERA. Did give up one hit, which was a homer, which I will point out was Pete Alonso, one of the best hitters in the league. He struck out two in the all-important two saves in those two games, total of 19 fantasy points on CBS standard scoring. His control looks better than last season, not to mention, you know, the confidence a pitcher gets when handed the ball back-to-back save chances is just huge for a player. He's a two-pitch guy, similar to whoever we were just talking a moment ago, sinker and slider. But that sinker, woo, he throws it fast, 99 miles an hour. The slider last season, he had a 58% whiff rate on. Again, Matt mentioned earlier, anything over 50% is just ludicrous. Very good. He's got the kind of stuff that can make him an overpowering option in the ninth. He if he could just keep the walks down. He's had some issues with that in the past. I do want to mention Joel Piamps got the close for Sunday's game. I'm just going to assume they threw him out there just you know, not to use a Ribe, three games in a row. I wouldn't drop Pyams if you have him, but he looks to be on the shorter side of the split closer, if there is one there. You know, time will tell. But I'm going to take the guy that's named after the freaking guy that invented baseball, Abner Uribe. Like, what the, you know? Devin Williams is going to be out for a minimum of 3 months, so it looks like Uribe's next man up. So I like him for a waiver target.
For sure. Fun fact, he is the first player named Abner to appear in Major League Baseball games since 1891. Don't really hear that game or that name all that often anymore.
No.
He's got the massive strikeout potential. And, you know, you look through his first couple games, a 6.9% swinging strike rate. Well, that's not great. A 27.6% called strike rate. So he's fooling the shit out of people and freezing them at the plate.
Yeah.
I think there's still a chance, and you kind of touched on this, that there may be a bit of a committee approach there because he's got issues with walks. Last year in 30 and two-thirds innings pitched, he had 20 walks, a 15.8% rate. Now, when you're talking about relievers, specifically closers, one outing where you walk two or three guys can skew that data.
Absolutely.
Right. I didn't dive in super deep and on a game by game basis to see how that all played out. But we see it there in the numbers. So, you know, that it's there. It's something to keep in mind. But holy shit, is that strikeout potential massive as well?
Tis.
What do we got here?
One of our Tigers.
Yeah, we got Loud Boy. He threw 100 mile an hour today. Holy shit. That's fast. So we're not going to go the whole episode without talking about a Tiger. Specifically, Jason Foley. Look at that mustache. That shit's beautiful. Coming into the season, I think pretty much everybody thought that Alex Lang would be there at the back end of the bullpen, but he has really struggled so far this year. He was brought in a very low leverage situation and managed to walk the bases full, which is not going to instill a whole lot of confidence in him and manager AJ Hinch. But Jason Foley, his velo is up across the board. He is a sinker slider guy. Sinker comes in at just a hair under 99 miles an hour, and he uses it 75.8% of the time. He's an extreme ground ball pitcher. A 56.8% ground ball rate for his career. That all sounds great, right? Sinker, if it does what you're supposed to, you just beat that shit into the ground. But when you've got a sinker coming in at 99 miles an hour, that shit's going to be going just as fast off the bat. Yeah. He doesn't really strike out a whole lot of guys. Granted, he's got four strikeouts and 2 1/3 innings pitched so far. But I got to wonder, and I was listening to Fantastics over the weekend, what is your confidence level in Jason Foley coming in the ninth, runners on second and third, and you need a strikeout?
Yeah.
Is he the kind of guy that can get you that strikeout when you really need it? Because over the course of his career, he's somebody who has pitched to contact.
Yeah. And he struggled. If that person up to bat trying to get them runs in is a lefty, he's fucked, because he's really struggled against lefties as well. So that really might complicate his value moving forward as well.
Sure. And we've seen Shelby Miller come in at the end of games to you know, close things out, not necessarily in a save situation. I think he's got a win and a save so far. But we haven't really seen a clearly defined usage pattern there in the back end of the bullpen just yet. I think historically AJ Hinch is somebody who likes to lean on one guy, but still, for the time being, if you can pick up Jason Foley, he's owned or he's available in 45% of Yahoo leagues. Get you some saves now while they're available and just keep an eye on the situation. If things start to change, you make a pivot. If he solidifies his role at the back end of the bullpen, you got somebody early in the year who's going to pay dividends for the next 6 months.
For sure. And the Tigers, don't forget, they're a younger crew. They're kind of on the rise in a soft division. So a healthy saves total might be there for the whoever the closer ends up being for the Tigers. I hope it is Foley.
Me too.
Matt mentioned earlier about the Boston Red Sox rotation looking just freaking awesome. We want to highlight Cutter Crawford, still available in 20-30% leagues, depending on what league you're in. A little bit higher for somebody we want to talk about, but we still wanted to talk about him. He pitched well in spring training, really carried that over to the first start there versus Seattle. 6-inning pitch, 3 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks. He did get the quality start. He didn't get the win. That game ended up going into extra innings, and Red Sox actually lost 4-3, but got you 20.5 fantasy points. You got to love that. Generated 10 swings and misses to go with those 7 strikeouts as well. Really in large part to that sweeper pitch. Threw it 37% of the time as well. At one point, he retired 14 straight batters, including 5 by strikeout. Just really awesome. It's got an start on Friday the 5th against the Angels. They're a fucking horrible team. You're going to roll him out. And then back at home on the 11th next Thursday versus the Orioles. So a tougher team, but I'd still roll him out for both.
Yeah, and you know, you're right. Chances are he's owned in your league, but on the off chance that he isn't, I know he was on a lot of sleeper lists for this season because, yeah, you know, last year and in his first, not necessarily full year, but first year of you know, regular turns through the rotation, he was a dude. Hey, he got you a little bit more than a strikeout an inning. What the hell kind of name is Cutter?
I don't know.
But Cutter throws a cutter.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, over his start, he had a 10% or almost 11% swinging strike. And more so than the swinging strike rate, I love seeing the chase rate because that shows me that you're fooling play or you're fooling batters at the plate, getting them to swing at pitches outside the zone.
Heck yeah. One more waiver target. This guy's very low owned, but he's going to be playing every day.
Yes, he is. That is J.D. Davis of the Oakland Athletics. There was a little bit of drama with him leaving the Giants this offseason. We're not going to get into all of that. So far this year, 385, 467, 846, triple slash, couple home runs, 2 RBIs. And I would imagine most of his home runs this year are probably going to be slow, low shots, but he's a good, yeah, cheap source of power. I'm not counting on a whole lot of run production from him just because of that offense. And he does hit a little bit lower in the order. He's been hitting around 6th, but he's got 20 home run upside with regular playing time. He does strike out a lot, but he draws plenty of walks. I like him better in points leagues and on base percentage leagues as opposed to batting average leagues. He's only 10% owned. I mean, shit, just ride him till he's hot. And when you see he's starting to cool off, drop his ass.
Yeah, for sure. And he's got some extra appeal too, because he's first base and third base eligible. So additional appeal there. He hit 18 home runs last season. He is 30 years of age. The most he's had in a season is 22 in 2019. He's a killer against lefties though, but could really have an opportunity for some stats, you know, in the heart of the black hole of that lineup, so to speak. He's available everywhere, but I don't think he will be for long. Definitely no, in deeper leagues. He's a great at.
Yeah. He's a really, really streaky guy. You know, so jump on it, jump, you know, while he's hot, get what you can out of him. He's going to slow down, right? I mean, he's probably going to end up hitting around 250 with an on base around 330 or 340. So, he's not going to kill you in either one, but I'll go with the above average on base percentage versus a roughly league average batting average. But the power is legit, and he's shown it over the years.
Absolutely. Heck yeah. All right. You guys want to have some fun? Oh, let's see. So every Sunday, Matt and I do a weekly DFS matchup. I beat him only by about 4 points, but I still beat him. So I got the win and some of his money as well. you had a couple guys with donuts. That's what really hurt you.
Right. Especially like, you know, Adley Rutschman, Jeff McNeil. I just, you know, I kind of threw in, I needed a bit of salary relief. Yeah. Gary Carpenter come through, had a home run. Just, it wasn't quite enough. And Wells, I knew better than to start him, but I did it anyway because I figured they'd get the win, you know, going up against the Angels. But, you know, they shit the bed. It is what it is. Congratulations on your victory. Savor the feeling because this shit is not going to last.
Either way.
And I'll be back to taking your money.
Not worried. So we'll tally up the scores at the end of the year. See who's got bragging rights. Did we bet anything? Dinner?
I don't know. Terms to be determined.
Okay.
Well, you're just itching to get that fucking graphic up there, aren't you? That's like twice you popped it up on the screen now. Are you having a seizure?
Yes. Grand mal. Not a petite mal. Grand mal.
Don't call me grandma.
The Listener League, this is there was a game at 4 o'clock, so this is accurate before that. But the first week here is it's the whole week and a half, so it really entails the first week and second week, I guess you could say. People are looking good. That Scions BBC with 437 points is good. But everybody's doing okay so far. We'll see how it's going. Even Kip, my boy Kip, got 367 points almost, holding his own, man. Love it. You're losing, but I think you could come back. The projection, you know,
BBC stands for?
Not going to say it.
Oh yes.
So good luck to everybody the rest of the week on that with your matchups, except for Uncle Ted, because I'm gonna beat him. Thanks, Uncle Ted.
You hope anyway.
I do. Wow. That's it.
Yeah, no shit. This went faster than I thought.
Yeah, well, it's injuries and waivers. We're not going too in depth, but
right.
All right. Heck yeah. Loud boy gave me a laugh. Heck yeah. We'll be back Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. We'll definitely be talking probably about some more injury waivers that might happen over the next 48 hours. And we will talk about two start pitchers that we are high on, maybe some we aren't high on for week three. We want to get that information out a little sooner than we did last week because we didn't get out till Sunday. A separate video. So we definitely wanted to give you guys a chance earlier to get that, you know, worked out and do some research on your own and listen to us and tell you who you should grab or not grab.
Right. And we're going to be doing our best to focus on those two start pitchers that are less than 50% owned. Again, like we were talking about in the video, you don't need us to tell you to run Spencer Strider or Kevin Gausman out there for two starts, but you know, you get somebody who's 30% owned and maybe you need a little expert advice, but you can't find that either. So we're here to help.
Yep. There were some good ones this week. Kyle Gibson, I threw out there for two starts. He did well last night. Tanner Huck did two starts as well. And he did very, very well for his first start. So gotta love it. Two start pitchers are the more starts you get, the more points you can, you know, try and get. It's really an interesting strategy.
It is. I mean, especially in points leagues, they're one of the most valuable commodities out there. But if you make the wrong choice, they can sink your week. Out there and lay a couple eggs, throw your hands up because like that's not impossible to come back from, but you know, it can turn a nice easy win into holy shit, I'm sweating this until the end of Sunday night baseball.
Pretty much. Yeah. And it's fantasy sports is a risk, man. It's all risk. You don't know what's going to happen. You control diddly squat, jack shit. So, you know, it's all just trying to go use the best information that you have in front of you and make a decision, stick with it.
That's it. Yeah. That's really it. It's using the information and interpreting it as best you can, because me and Tiger Woods can use the exact same golf clubs, but he's going to get a much better result than I will with them.
Heck yeah. I want to point out we are on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X, whatever they're calling it. Hit us up on there. We're posting stuff on there as well. And I can't go without saying, give us a like and subscribe if you like what you hear. Come back and check us out on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. We're here. questions, start questions, any fantasy baseball questions, put them in the chat, put them in the comments. We're here to help you.
That's it. We are on the march to 200 subscribers.
All right. Dubo says he's off to watch Wheel of Fortune with the wife. Peace till Thursday. That means we're out too. Have a good night, folks.
See ya.